This is Lloyd Whittington. Would you come at this time, Brother Whittington, and thank you so much for agreeing to speak to our folks this morning. It's good to have you.
It's good to be here. And this is always kind of like home when we come back. We haven't been back for a while, but price of gas doesn't help that any. But I see you got high-priced gas, too. I guess that's all over, isn't it? It's amazing to see what God does in a church that loves him and serves him and really wants to put him first in their life. When we went to Kentucky, as you know, for a year with Debbie and Troy and their family, it didn't work out for Troy's job, and so we came back, and my boss wanted me to come back to work for him, so I'm still working, we searched out some churches before we joined Wildwood Baptist Church. We went to help a church up in Appleton that had just started, and that was about, 25 miles from us, I guess. thought we'd be of some help there maybe a little bit. I think the pastor had some health problems, for one thing, not sure his wife was committed to be a pastor's wife completely, and so he closed the church. So we visited another church in Oshkosh, and it just wasn't our kind of church. It was just, they preached from the King James Bible, and they preached salvation, but it was not up and going church. And so we went there a few Sundays and found out that wasn't it. And so I'd known Pastor King for years. We were just 20 miles from Oshkosh when I pastored, and so I knew Pastor King. He'd preached once in our church in Berlin for us, and we knew some of the people there. So we ended up at Wildwood, and I believe that's where God wanted us all the time anyway, and so I know we're where we're supposed to be. But I didn't know as much about the ministry as I do now. We've been there now, 2006, I believe we joined there. I taught a Bible Institute class last fall, 16-week Old Testament survey. And so they have a Bible Institute that runs in the spring and in the fall. And so I got involved with that. They ran out of deacons, so they elected me a deacon. I thought I was getting too old for that. So we've been tried to be a help any place we could. But as I got into the church and realized the wide advance of their ministry, it amazes me, and still does. Last Sunday morning, Pastor King got up in the pulpit and he said, "I'm amazed." He says, "I thought this week." We had people in Budapest, Hungary. They're called the Couriers for Christ, and they're three men and their wives that head it up. But they go every year to Russia or Hungary or Romania. They've been all over there, and they've spent. I think they've sent 71. Semis of scriptures over in that country over the years. But they go over, and they went last year and set up a meeting for this year. They just came back this last week. And sometimes they'll take 30 people with them from all different churches that of like faith like us. And they go over the year before, and they set up the meeting with the pastor, the missionary pastor in whatever area they go to. They find out a lot about the area. They'll set up a place, because they always have 1 week. They spend a full week on the streets passing out scriptures. And I believe they passed out, and I can't remember. There's been so many. They talked about so many things. They had so many testimonies last week, and what had been accomplished, it's hard to keep all the figures straight. But I believe they passed out 17,000 Romans and John Romans over in Budapest. For the final meeting, they set up an auditorium someplace that they can rent. Now, they set this all up a year in advance that they can rent, and this past one they had seated 500 and some people, and they had it full and overflowing, and they had over 200 decisions for Christ at that meeting. And that's the kind of the work that the Couriers for Christ do. But they also fly around all over the year raising support. They do this all on their own. This is not just a Wildwood Baptist. They don't fund all of this because they raise their own support and they go on their own expense. They had two or three people from our church this last time went with them, but sometimes they have as many as six or eight people from our church go. But they have people from all over, different churches all over the area and even out of the states where they've from some of the churches that support the ministry. I think the time before they went, they had like 30 people went and passed out the scriptures. And it's amazing how God puts the people together and has them with one spirit and with one goal in mind. Of course, the goal of all of these groups that we have, their first and foremost goal is to see people saved and brought to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and to accept himself into their heart and lives. Their goal then is to help pastors and missionaries on the field in whatever area that they can help them with. Bob Warner is a captain. He used to be a pilot. I'm in the wrong one. But it's Don Sturts and Ken Sturts and Larry Ingalls. There's about six of the with their wives that head this all up, and they've gone all over the East. They've gone to Russia. They take scriptures over. And that's kind of their ministry. But when they're not over there, they're working towards that. They're praying towards that. They're out raising support and trying to get folks to back the ministry and then to go along with them on these trips. So that's the Couriers for Christ. They've been there for several years. Another one of our ministries is Bearing Precious Seed. Jim Hoffman heads that up. He's been there over 30 years. He's about 60 years of age. And then we have a young fellow, Tim Carpenter, and his wife. And he has two or three little children now. And they just came back from a Mexico trip. They'd been down in Mexico for a week, 10 days, and took a group with them. And they go down and they pass out scriptures. And they have meetings every night, and then they have a final meeting. And I forget how many they said got saved on this last trip. They didn't have too many go with them because some had, because of health and other reasons, had canceled out on the trip. But I think they had like 10 or 12 people total that went. So they pass out the Bibles and then work while they're down there. They work with if a missionary needs some special need, if they need something done in their house or some plumbing or some electrical work or something like that, they try to help with that also. Sometimes they'll go down and even help build some things. And so that's kind of the Bearing Precious Seed. Their main outreach, of course, we have the printing presses. We have a special building built out beside the church and has the printing presses in and all set up to where they print the scriptures. They collate them, and then they assemble them, and then they ship them out. Some are shipped in for us to put together. And I don't know as much about some of these ministries because I don't get involved. I work all day, so I don't get involved quite as much as some of the other people do. If I'd have realized Jerry wanted this, I'd have brought a little more information with me at the time. But it is a great ministry, and Brother Hoffman has a great heart for getting the scriptures out. But we print them in all different languages and ship them to Venezuela and ship them all over wherever pastors need them. And so that's Bearing Precious Seed, a great ministry. And then we have another ministry that's called Wings as Eagles. They build a hangar out at the airport in Ishkosh, and the Wings as Eagles has a plane. It's a six-passenger plane, And, of course, it's used for so many things. Bob Werner and Terry Rushing and Bart Case They all can preach, and they go all over the United States and all over the world, actually preaching and raising support. And a lot of their ministry is just working with missionaries that has a need. And I know they just came back from a trip. And then the pastor said, boy, he said, to realize a little church like Wildwood Baptist Church, not a big mega church, just about 500 people we run three buses, and I have a bunch of kids that come, and of course they're the life, they're going to be taking our place one of these days. And so we need those. But they fly all over. They fly up to, we've got a missionary up in Uranium City. Anybody ever heard of that? In Canada, it's up on the northern edge of Saskatchewan, just before the Northwest Territory. You can't hardly get in there by any vehicle except an airplane. The church refurbished a plane. I believe on this one, they refurbished a little plane and gave it to him. And then got it all done, all fixed up like a brand new plane, took it up to him, and now he's got that plane to reach out, and that's the way he brings in kids to camp, and they run their camp in the summer. And then the Wings as Eagles, they'll fly up there and help him and do some of the camp time during the summer. Now this summer they've got a real problem because they've got a fire up there just a few miles away from it, and it's been, the wind keeps whirling it around. They're never sure just where it's going to go, but it has hampered their camp program this summer quite a bit. And I know Terry Rushing, one of the Wings as Eagles guys, was going to go up there this summer and help them out, but he didn't want to go up there with the threat of the fire and the problems that they had. But they fly all over Mexico. We have a lot of trips to Mexico every year. And they go down to Texas and New Mexico and on the border of Mexico, and they'll fly in there and work with pastors that are, they kind of go over the border and work right along there. But they go down, and it's nothing for them to go back and say, well, we did a whole electrical job for one of the missionaries, or we replumbed his house, or he needed a new roof, and they put a new roof on his house for him. And they'll take a group of people with them to help these missionaries. And their main purpose is working with the missionaries and working with pastors that need special help. And they go to Mexico and all over. So that's their ministry. With this hangar that we have out in at the airport, it'll hold, I think get about six planes in that hangar. It's a good sized hangar. And then somebody last year gave us some kind of a machine that you can raise a plane up on, and then put another plane underneath it to help store a plane. And they gave that to them. We have the AA show at the airport every year, and that comes up the end of July. During that time, while we have a flight campaign at our church, and what's it called? I can't even think of it right now. It's terrible to get old, you know. I turned 74 last week, and I think I can feel it. But anyway, during that week, we have then a lot of the people that come in for the air show will come to our services in the evening. And then we have special speakers and special missionaries come in. But it's quite a program. But it's every one of the services, every one of these services and groups, their purpose is to see souls saved and to help their ministries to grow and to be a help, to help to be a servant. And it's all they pay. They raise their own support. And I think our church supports them like $100 a month or something. But they go out and preach and raise their own support. And it's just exciting to see that. And then we have one other one that's kind of new, just within the last few months. And it's called Master Craftsman, Eric Joss. And he's a brother-in-law of the Sturts boys that's in the Couriers for Christ. But he started a Master Craftsman program. And they started out by we're just about 50 miles from Manitowoc, Wisconsin, and so they kind of took on as one of their first projects was to go over there and help a new pastor remodel a building so they could have services in it. And he just grabbed a bunch of guys from our church. We've got electricians and plumbers and carpenters and contractors in our church, and they just go on. It's all their own expense. They pay their own expense every time they go. But they'd go over there like on a weekend and just completely remodel. They'd lay tile. They'd hang sheetrock. And then that was kind of how they got started. And then Wild Rose is about 50 miles west of us, and they built a brand new church. And just a small group of people that built the church, but a nice church. And so they got wind of that, and they got heard about the Master Craftsman's program. And so they went over and hung all the sheetrock for them and did all the sheetrock work for them, did electrical work for them and plumbing work, and helped them finish up that building. And then, of course, at no cost, they bought the materials, but they did all the labor. And what a ministry that has turned out to be. So, and they've done this to several places, but the biggest highlight of this year has been they had contact with a missionary over in Romania, and he needed an orphanage. And so Eric went over and to look the situation over. And now he paid for this. The church didn't pay for this. He went over on his own and met the pastor missionary, and saw the needs and saw what was there and what he needed to do, and really got a burden on this, and got a burden for our church, and got a burden for many of the people in the church. And so he got some people together, and they set up all the plans to go over and build this orphanage for this missionary pastor. And I gave Jerry some literature on that, and I've got more at home that I'll send down. But just as to realize the burden and how God can use just anybody. You don't have to be a carpenter, you know. But when he went over, none of the lumber over there was standard lumber. Some of it would be 1 inch on one end and 3 inches on the other end. And had to be, and so they had 4 miles. He said if they'd laid them end to end, all the boards, every one of those boards had to be ripped down to the size and made standard. And they did that all with a skill saw. And so it's quite a, they had a lot of good times and jokes and about doing it. But what a job they set out to do. So they set the trip up then to go over. I can't remember which month it was they went. But they went over and framed it up, got the framing all up, and got it all set to have the sheetrock, or not sheetrock, but have the sides put on, have the roof all put on. But they had to come home. So they came back, but they got all framed up already. And then there was about, I think there was 9 or 10 guys went with him that time. But he shipped a lot of stuff over way ahead of time. He bought stepladders because he said their stepladders weren't safe. He wouldn't let his men stand on those stepladders that they had over there. So they shipped stepladders over. They shipped skill saws over. They shipped over a lot of the material and then a lot of the tools that they needed so they'd have the right tools there when they got there. And Jerry asked me if they left them there, brought them home, and I don't know that answer. But anyhow, they got it all framed up and all ready and come home. And then they already had the next trip set up, which I believe was in, I think it was April. I think they went over in March the first time and went back in April. This time they took, two of the men took their wives to help cook for them. And one of the, Eric Joss, the head of the Master Craftsman, took his own 2 kids. He's got a boy that's about 10 and a girl that's about 12 or so. Took them with him too. But then this time they went over and they got all the sheeting on the building, and then they got the metal roof put on the top, all ready for sheetrock. And I talked to Eric last week, and he said, boy, he said, I'm really praying about it, but he said, I'd sure like to go back now and sheetrock it for him and finish it up. And so, but this is a ministry that God just put on his heart. And it's amazing what God can do with somebody if they want to be used, isn't it? But that's here at the local church, too. You know, God will use you no matter what talent you got. And sometimes we don't think we have much. And I've thought that for a long time. But, you know, God can use you if you want to be used. But what a ministry we have. And to think, a little church, Pastor said, of 500 people could have somebody in Mexico and in Budapest and up in Canada and down in Mexico all at the same time doing God's work. And so it really touched my heart and really made me think, wow, that's true. It's hard to believe that just a small church. You know, we think of the big mega churches. It's got thousands of people that are able to do that, but don't have to have the thousands, do we? Amen. But each of the people raised their support, and it's been a real challenge to me, and it's a real challenge to the people, and it's sure a testimony of God's goodness and God's power to outfit all these people with all the talents that they have. We have men that can build a big house, and he went, and we've got an electrician, just a young guy, just got married, and he's a electrician, and he went and did the electrical work for him, and then we've had one of the fellows that went over on this last trip had just lost his wife and never done anything like that before, and even has a bad heart. Has a heart attack, and he went along on the last trip and just had a ball. And they have fun, but they work hard and long hours, and God just does nothing but bless them. And so Jerry wanted me to share that with you. I don't know if that's all you. Amen. Is that what you wanted? Wasn't sure just what he wanted, but it's a great privilege to be here this morning, and it's a great privilege to be behind this pulpit. And I really don't take that lightly. It's God's word that we're proclaiming today, and that's not something that we take for granted. God never promised he'd keep us out of the fire, did he? He could have kept Daniel out of the lion's den, and he could have kept Paul out and Silas out of jail. He could have kept the three Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace. But God has never promised to keep us out of the hard places. But he has promised to go with us through those hard places, hasn't he? And to bring us through victoriously. And God's able to do that. And I want to just share some things today. Someone said this, and I thought it was kind of cute. Said, God gave us two ends, one for sitting and one for thinking. He said, your success depends on what you use. Heads you win, and tails you lose. I thought that was kind of cute. Gave us two ends. Depends on which end you use, doesn't it? Some of us use the other end too much of the time, I'm afraid. A young boy had just gotten his driver's permit. He asked his father, who was a pastor, if they could discuss the use of the car. How many of you had that discussion before? And his father took him to his study, and he said, I'll make a deal with you, son. He said, you bring up your grades, and you study hard, and you study your Bible a little, get your hair cut, and then we'll talk about the use of the car. After a month, the boy came back again, going to try again. He said, Dad, can we discuss the use of the family car? So again, he took him into his study, and said, son, I've been real proud of you. He said, you brought your grades up. He said, you've studied your Bible diligently, but you didn't get your hair cut. The young man waited a moment and replied, you know, Dad, I've been thinking about that. He said, you know, Samson had long hair, and Moses had long hair, and Noah had long hair, and I don't know if they did or not. And the father replied, and he said, yes, and they walked every place they went. Okay. So I thought that was kind of cute. All right, let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you again for loving us. God, we don't even understand the great love and the scope of your love, I don't think, most of the time. Thank you for this church, and thank you for the pastor, and thank you for all the people that sit in the pews and all that minister and help with all the things that need to be done. We thank you for our Bible. Thank you for the Word of God. We know it's true. We can count on it. We can count on you. And so we thank you now. Meet with us now, and Lord, we pray that you'd have your will and your way in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. What time do I need to be done?
25.
Okay. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning, and I just got to talk kind of from my heart, but salvation's more than being saved. You know that? I don't take salvation lightly, and don't get me wrong. Dr. Hiles mentioned this when I was at pastor school years ago. I heard him mention this, and I think he probably preached on it. But I've thought about this over the years. There's more to salvation than just being saved. And I've always been intrigued by this title, and I've always been intrigued, and I've studied it and think of it often. But I want to take just a few minutes this morning. I'll probably not get through it all, but when we accept the Lord Jesus, along with salvation, we get a lot more than just getting saved. Do you know that? But I think sometimes we forget that. Don't get me wrong. We know that salvation is a free gift. And from God. And he sent Jesus, his son, to the cross, to die on the cross, to die in our place. He rose again and is seated at the right hand of God today as our intercessor. And so Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And there is no Jesus plus anything. It's just Jesus, isn't it? And we need to realize that. And I give him all the credit. And so it's not Jesus plus anything. But when we got saved, we got a lot more than just salvation. And if we got nothing else, it'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? But I want this morning to show you some wonderful things from God's Word, I think, that will help us all. It's good to be here with Jerry and his family. Good to see the girls and the new baby and the old baby and that's the one that's 2 years old and Ariana. So, but we've had a good time and had a good trip down, and it's good for Bev and I to be able to get down. Next Friday, she'll have put up with me for 49 years. And so we're thankful for that. God's been good to us. And we have three living kids, and we love them all. And we have six grandkids, and we have one grandson. I always tell Caleb, he's my favorite grandson. And he said, "But Grandpa, I'm your only one." And I said, "I know, but you're still my favorite one." And so we enjoy the kids. But God's been good to us. Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Romans 8:32. You might want to turn to that one. Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" I'm going to read that again. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And then turn over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, I'm not sure how much we're going to read here for the sake of time, but I want to read a little bit of it. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And sometimes we forget the benefits, I think, and his benefits. And we're commanded in everything to give thanks in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And here we forget not all his benefits. And we could just go on all day long with this, the benefits of being a Christian, can we? Of knowing the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Let's read on just a little bit. So after verse 2, he says, "Forget not all his benefits." It says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." And so he says, "Forgiveth all our iniquities," or all our sins. Boy, that's a big order, isn't it? And then says, healeth all our diseases. And I think we forget, you know, we go to the doctor and get a finger operated on, or we get our appendix out, or we have different things that we go to the doctors for. We get the pneumonia, or we get sick, and we go to the doctor and expect him to heal us. But, you know, God's a great physician. Now, he uses doctors, and he uses hospitals, and he uses nurses, and he uses medicine that he's given us the know-how and the knowledge to have. But he's still the great physician. And so he heals all the diseases. If it's going to get healed, he's going to be the one that does the healing. And then he says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness, tender mercies, and who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Satisfieth thy mouth with good things. We have a lot of good things to eat, don't we, too? And he puts the words in our mouth, too. I think sometimes that kind of means maybe he gives us the right words to say. Satisfies our mouth. And so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed and were weighed down and burdened. And verse 7 says, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 22 says, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So he says, forget not all his benefits. Then he goes on and talks about forgives us of our sins and heals our diseases, redeemeth our life from destruction, crowneth with loving kindness. And, of course, we don't know what love is, do we really? If we don't even comprehend God's great love. And we know what love is, and so much of our love is a sensual and a physical love, but God loves us with such a love we can't even understand that, I don't believe. And then it says, satisfieth our mouth with good things. The Lord is merciful, gracious. And so we got all this when we got saved, and even more. Now turn over to Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to have to hurry here a little bit. In verse 22, here he lists the fruits of the Spirit, and verse 22 says, previous to verse 22, he's talked about the works of the flesh and the fruits of the flesh and the sins of the flesh, and verse 19 says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he puts a great big but there, doesn't he? But, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Someone said, oh, if these young Christians could just keep their joy. You know what? Oh, if us old Christians could just keep our joy. It's not, sometimes we put it all on the young people, but you know, we have to keep ourselves right. And as a Christian, then we should rejoice in his salvation as much, I think, 30 years after we're saved as we did the day we got saved. In fact, we ought to rejoice more because we know a lot more of what God's done for us. And so he knows the way we're made. He knows that it's difficult for man to respond to the stimulus for a long season. And so he puts all this, I think, in verse Galatians 5:22 through verse 23. and that we might discover these things one at a time as we grow. Interesting that he puts love at the first thing, isn't it? But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. And he puts love at the top. I believe there's no mistake in that. Many times we read 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about the love chapter. And everything fails but what? Love, doesn't it? Love never faileth, he said. And so we can be filled with love and we... to whatever amount of love you want to have is available to you. You can't be filled with love and hate at the same time. Doesn't work that way, does it? As we grow and as Christians mature and we grow in grace, and then he said in Romans 8:32, we read it a little bit ago, says, "He that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And certainly, it's available. And I just want to dwell on this chapter 5 of Galatians for just a minute. I think when we talk about love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and these fruits of the Spirit, we limit God because I think we sometimes forget that there's enough love there. You can have all the love you want this morning. You can love that neighbor that you can't stand. If you take God's love and apply it to your life and ask him to help you, you know. And listen, you can have all the joy you want this morning because it's available to you in any amount or any degree you want. And it doesn't run out. It never empties. And the bucket of love is kind of like the meal that didn't never run out. It's there's enough there for every one of us in whatever amount we want. And I believe the closer we walk with the Holy Spirit and have the Holy Spirit leading us and directing us, we can have as much love as you want to have. And maybe it's that child that's been a wayward child and sometimes it's tough to love, isn't it? And sometimes it's hard to love the neighbor. Sometimes it's hard to love that one you work with at work and they've got maybe a foul mouth or maybe they've got just a spirit that picks and picks and just irritates people. But you know what? With God's love, you can love them. And you can have any amount of love you want. You can have any amount of peace you want this morning. And you can have all the long-suffering you need. And you can have all the gentleness. You can have all the goodness. And you can have as much faith as you want. Because it will never run out. It's an unending supply. And there's enough for you, enough for your wife, enough for each one of your kids, enough for everyone in church. It's enough for everyone in every church. And I think we take, we sometimes forget that God's love is that big and that generous. And so when you got saved, you had all that love, you had all that joy, you had all that peace, you had all that long-suffering, all that goodness and meekness and all those things available to you. But I'll guarantee you the day you came down and knelt down here and said, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior," you didn't realize that. And you didn't know that. You didn't know the scope of God's love. You didn't know the scope of his peace. But listen, as we grow and as we sit under the preaching and as we are in Sunday school and under the teaching, as we read God's word, the Holy Spirit makes that available to us, doesn't he? He opens our eyes and shows us that, hey, that's for you. That's just not for mom and dad either. That's for the kids. That's for grandpa and grandma. That's for everybody that wants to love like they ought to love. You say, "But I just can't love that person. I just can't stand that person." Listen, I've been there. I know some people like that that's tough. But listen, God will help you. He's got all the love you need, and it's available to you. And if you're having trouble with joy this morning, you got a sad heart, and you're depressed, and maybe you're down, and things haven't gone just the way they ought to have gone, listen, you can have all the joy you want. Just ask the Holy Spirit to help you and get it. And so I believe when we got saved, we didn't know that the day we got saved, but it was there, and it's still there, only we can be more aware of it the more you read your Bible and the more you hear the preaching preached and the more closer you walk with the Holy Spirit. My time's up, and I guess that's pretty much what I wanted to share with you this morning. And I hope it's been a help, and we take God so for granted many times. We don't tap into the resources that are available to us. But you got all of that. Every one of us that's born again this morning has access to all those things in any quantity you need. Don't forget to ask Him for it. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank You that You love us. Thank You for this church, for these people. Thank You for the attention this morning. And certainly, Jerry, do a better job preaching. Waiting to hear him preach this morning. You just bless. And if there's anyone here this morning not saved, they might find the Lord Jesus before they leave this place. You bless real good. In Jesus' name, amen.